Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, how to ask for a raise, cost of living. Here we go. Before we start, I just wanted to bring everybody's attention to both our Effective Manager Conference and our Effective Communications Conferences. If you haven't been to one of these or you haven't checked them out on the website, I'd highly encourage you to do so. If you want to ask for a raise, one way to increase your chances of getting a raise would be to be more adept at your job, to have more skills as either a manager or even as an individual contributor, a communicator. And I'll tell you, there's no better source of information and training and actionable material other than perhaps these podcasts than in those training days. Effective Manager Conference, Effective Communication Conference. Check it on the website, www.manager-tools.com. Okay, Wendy, so last week, you and Mark were speaking about comparable pay for a marketing analyst in Atlanta, as an example. And so the next part of the process is to figure out what that means for this marketing analyst in terms of, well, what she wants to ask for relative to a raise, right?
Yeah, first you have to know what's reasonable, and then you have to do a bunch of calculations. And this is the first
math.
A bunch of calculations. Yes, math. But it's kind of rough math at the end. So it's the kind of math that I can do. So we might be all right.
Like rough math, like a lot, like ask a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we're going to cover factors. And the factors are the cost of living, inflation, and the company performance. And then we're going to cover the calculation at the end.
Okay. So factors. You have three of them: cost of living, inflation, and company performance. So tell me about that a little bit.
Okay. So, I mean, even if you gathered information that said you should be paid 50% more or even 10% more, going into your boss and saying, I want a 50% raise, he's just going to laugh you out of the room.
Because it doesn't happen very often.
No, nobody has ever got a 50%. Now, somebody's going to email us and say, I got a 50% raise, but it's really, really rare. And even 10% is a lot.
You know, we're recording this in 2014, particularly in today's environment, you know, a 10% raise, that'd be a good raise.
Exactly. And you got to remember that companies are made up of people, and people have a feeling about the economy. Whether or not their feeling is borne out by the numbers is kind of immaterial, but people have feelings about, I think the economy is good, I think it's getting better, or we still feel a bit strapped. And those feelings play into their ability or their willingness to give you a raise. And that's why we're supporting it with data and not just going in and saying, I feel like I should have a raise, because they'll say, I feel like the company is strapped. And no. So you don't want to pitch feelings against feelings. You want to pitch data against feelings or other data.
Okay, so let's talk about cost of living a little bit, because I mean, there's at least a couple different ways to look at that. So when you say cost of living, what do you mean?
There's two big definitions. There's the amount that it costs to live in the town that you live in, your lifestyle in your town. And then there's a group of calculations that the government does in a standard way to make economic decisions. And if you look at some of those, some of the things that are included, you would be very confused and think, I've never bought one of those in my life. And they do update them periodically, but if they update them, it makes it harder for the government to compare previous years. So they tend to update them fairly infrequently so that they get a fair index of how the cost of living is changing over time. So what you want to think about is probably the cost of living in your hometown and the cost of your lifestyle, but you also want to know what the cost of living indexes and the cost of living announcements have been, because that plays into the feeling your manager or the company has about how the economy is going.
In your experience, do companies, particularly, you know, say your manager, do they have a good sense of the numbers, you think, around cost of living, or is it, or like you said, is it mainly a feeling?
I mean, I think every good manager listens to a good news program on the radio or watches a good TV news program or reads the Wall Street Journal. Will have, you know, the announcement, the monthly announcement of the cost of living indexes and the inflation indexes are in the papers. It just depends on which one they remember and kind of the slant that the paper's putting on it and whether or not they really thought about it. So it kind of depends on the person. But you're going to have a chance at the end of when we've published all these casts, we're going to tell you how to pitch to your manager. And one of the things you can do is tell them, hey, the cost of living index is, it's data and not feelings.
Right.
You can give them the facts. Nothing stops you giving them the facts. So the cost of living in your town depends on how many people want to live there compared with the available housing stock. So San Francisco is really expensive because tons of people want to live there and there isn't enough houses for them. So if you read the information, things about people that have tried to get apartments in San Francisco, there's like 20 applicants and they go in 2 hours just because there's so many people who want to live there. And the other thing is the amount of effort that it takes to get goods and services to wherever you are. So if you live on an island, for instance, Hawaii is more expensive than the mainland. Or if you live somewhere far away from roads, if you live up in the far north in the wilds, things will be more expensive just because it costs more to get things to you. And that factors in.
So Sir Branson really has a tough time on his private island because it's,
yeah,
it's probably very expensive for him to get goods and services there. Okay.
True, but he has his own jet. So,
okay.
You know.
All right.
Every location has its own balance of whether things are cheaper or more expensive, and different things are differently expensive in different areas. If you live near Houston, where the oil where oil is coming into the country and there's refineries there, the cost of gas is cheaper than if you're further away from refineries, for instance. So they're all different. And that's why we were careful when we were comparing our fictional salaries with the other salaries in Atlanta. We were looking at Atlanta. We weren't looking at Athens or Columbus, which are only 100 miles away, which, you know, in my mind isn't commutable, but people do commute that far.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a long way. I mean, right?
No, exactly. To make that much of a difference if you consider the size of the US. But there's a big difference in the number of houses, the number of people that want to live there, and the number of jobs. And that all makes a difference to the cost of living.
Yeah. And it could be significant, even with a 100-mile difference.
If you know what the cost of living is for your town, the other thing you need to know is if it's gone up or down significantly since you last had a pay assessment. If you're thinking about a new role and moving between cities, this becomes much more important because there's a difference in the cost of living between the two cities. But even if you've had a pay assessment 2 years ago and you're still in Atlanta, you want to know what the difference is so that you can factor that into your calculations.
Okay. We talked about cost of living. How about inflation? And I guess there's a difference between the two, although often people talk about them as if they're interchangeable.
As if they're one thing, yeah. Well, inflation is, again, it's a measure of how much prices are rising at any one time. And there's a personal component. There's how much of the things that you pay for are going up, the things that are important to you. And there's a governmental component that calculations that are used to increase social security and other benefits are often inflation linked.
Right. And people get sensitive about inflation because I think most people have an expectation that their pay is going to increase at least at the rate of inflation.
Yeah.
Right. But companies don't necessarily see it that way, right?
So if you think of it the opposite way around, assume that inflation is consistent across all goods and services, which it isn't, but we'll do it for the purposes of the exercise. The company is worse off over the last 2 years, say, if we're looking at 2 years of inflation, because all of their goods and supplies, all of the things that it takes them to make things or to provide a service, you know, even things, silly things like the notepad that you work and the pen and the replacement cable for your computer, you know, small things, if they've gone up in price, the company has effectively gone down in profitability by that amount. So they're worse off, and you're saying, okay, I'm worse off too, and I want some more share.
Right.
And if you have more share, they're even less profitable. So there's no incentive for the company. And it's unlikely, well, maybe you can prove this, and this is one way to support your raise, it's unlikely that you've added 2 or 3% of increased value to the company that makes up for that inflation. And then you've got to add on another 2 or 3% in order to make up for your raise. So there's a lot of additional work you've got to do in order for the company to see you as contributing to increased profitability rather than reducing their profitability in a time when it's already reducing.
Yeah, so there's a conflict between what you want, and it's understandable. Like if you're listening, saying, "Well, it's not fair to me. I'm working just as hard, and my purchasing power just went down because of inflation." So that's fair enough, and easy enough to understand that perspective. But the point here is that you think about it differently than your company thinks about it. So you need a strategy.
Exactly, and we've all been there too. You know, we all think. Well, I think so too. So, Mike, can I have a pay rise? No.
No. So, we told people on Manager Tools how to answer that question, and the answer is no.
That's no.
When we get to deflation, right, people change their opinion, right? Because nobody in a deflationary period thinks that they ought to give money back to the company.
No. Can you imagine that? The HR writes to you and said, "I'm sorry, there's 2% deflation. Please return $400 a month for the last 12 months. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So you can see why the company doesn't necessarily buy your argument about inflation means I get a pay raise. So
exactly. The last thing that you want to factor into this calculation is the company performance. Any company that's not performing well is unlikely to be giving pay increases or bonuses. Even if you're the superstar and you absolutely deserve it, and any of the company profitability, what there is dependent on you. If their profitability is decreasing or they are in a cash flow situation where they don't have the kind of cash they want, they've got banks who want to see them running their business as effectively as possible. They might have shareholders who want to see them running the business as effectively as possible. And even private companies, the owners put money in to start with, and they want to see it run as profitably as possible. And so your ask for a raise in that moment, when the person who's running the company has got all these competing outside pressures saying, no, you have to show the utmost restraint and make sure you get every ounce of profitability out of this company, your request for a raise is not only will it be no, it'll be get out of my office and stop poking me in the eye. I've got all these other people asking for things, not you as well.
Yeah, so I'll refrain from making comments about governmental employees, organizations asking for pay raises in the environment we have right now. I'll just leave it there on the table.
Let's not get into politics.
So yeah, exactly. We try to avoid that here. So I know what people want to know. They want, okay, what are the calculations? So those are the factors.
So
now. So what do I do? I want to know. I want to know how much of a raise I'm going to get. That's what I want to know.
Exactly. If we work through it, we found out in the cast that we did previously that the average salary for a marketing analyst is in Atlanta is $67,000. And let's say it's 2 years since you've had a raise and you're currently on $62,000. So you're $5,000 off the mean for Atlanta. Now, if you look at the cost of living, you'd think, right, oh, okay, I've got support for a $5,000 raise, right? But the cost of living in Atlanta hasn't changed proportionately to the rest of the country, which is how it's judged in the last 2 years. So the cost of living is often expressed as a comparison to the mean, and the mean is 100, and Atlanta comes 2 or 3 points below, so like 98 or 97. And inflation has reduced. It was 3% in 2011 and 1.5% in 2013. So the external factors, which you might have used to support your raise, aren't there. In fact, if anything, you should be giving money back to the company. So we won't want to mention that in our conversation with our boss or even in our calculation.
Well, that's bad. Okay.
Yeah. So no good news so far. The difference between the salary and the average salary in Atlanta is 8%, that $5,000. But it's unlikely that you would get that much, even in a company that was doing very well. 8% is just a high number. They usually range between 1 and 5 in a normal kind of salary round. Occasionally they go a bit further, but it's not usual. And let's say you were working for Coke, huge number of employees in Atlanta. But if you look at their revenue over the last 2 years, it's been flat because less people are drinking soda because it's bad for us. So if we're a manager at Coke and you come to us and say, I want an 8% pay rise, we're going to say, well, the company's not making any more money. You're not doing any more work. We're not being more profitable because of you. And the company needs to save money in order to increase its profitability because sales have gone down. So no.
This is just bad news all the way around.
It is.
I'm depressed.
And I'm sorry. And there are cases where these calculations would be positive and you could ask for a raise. But what we wanted to show you was there's a lot of factors that go into saying no. And that's why you hear no so much more often than you hear yes. Or you hear yes and we'll give you 1% when what you want is 4%. Because there's so much more going into it than the number that you want in your pocket.
I'd have to think about the best way to approach it. But I tell you what, if you're of the view that you deserve a raise, yet you understand the company's position, and you could talk intelligently to your manager saying how you feel about a raise, but you understand that right now is not the right time because of all these factors, I think the manager would have a fairly positive view of that and might be ever so slightly more willing to consider it in the future, given that you've expressed or shown a willingness to look at the company's position on the matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing what you can do when somebody's on your side, or what somebody can do when they're on your side. Suddenly, they might find a line item that can give you a couple of grand that isn't an official pay rise, but it might be a yearly bonus or something.
Right, right.
Those things are possible when a manager wants to do it, but you've got to make them want to do it for you.
Yeah.
And part of that is making sure that they know that you understand their position.
Yeah, and going in and asking for a raise under these conditions where clearly the factors that we're considering don't work well for you, to go in and try to insist for a raise and ask for a raise under those conditions, it doesn't improve the relationship, let's put it that way, right?
It just makes you look clumsy and lacking in emotional understanding.
Yeah, foolish. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it's not all bad news, though, for this mystery person in Atlanta, because their salary hasn't changed, but nor have their costs in general. And their house value may have gone up or down in the last 10 years, because houses went mental for 10 years. But as long as you were paying your mortgage, it'll come back up. And as long as you don't want to move, you'll survive that. So you might feel worse off, but in general, in the last couple of years, you're probably not. Now you have to weigh up whether you want to change jobs and lose all the goodwill that you have in the company. So you're working for Coke and you think, okay, I'm going to go get a job somewhere else in order to get that additional 5K.
Right. Well, there's probably 5K in goodwill you have at least, right? So
exactly. If you've worked there for 3 or 4 years, you probably know how to get things done. You've got a relationship with your manager, which might make him want to consider finding a way of giving you more money. You've got relationships with other people. You've got a network, all the stuff that makes working easier. We just had an email from someone who said, I never understood that goodwill stuff, and now I've just moved companies, and boy, is it hard to get stuff done.
Right. And if you can't get things done, right, it's hard to look good, right? You don't get things accomplished, right? That's the whole point of the value of goodwill to you, right?
Exactly. So that's a decision you've got to make, and we've got an entire series on choosing a company, which part of that is making decisions about offers and whether or not they're actually beneficial and they meet the requirements that you have. So if you are thinking that actually I would change jobs in this circumstance, then go listen to that series. Shall I sum up?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so the factors were the cost of living, inflation, and company performance. And then we did a calculation, which was a very rough calculation of trying to find support for our pay rise for our mythical person, and we didn't find any. So sadly, we'll have to manage for another year or another 6 months on 62,000 and wait for the economy to improve.
Not the end of the world.
No, exactly. Especially if you've been on 62,000, like your lifestyle in theory should match your salary. And the salary increases aren't based on the feeling that you deserve more. You can feel that you deserve more way in advance of somebody giving you a pay rise. But for the company, they're based on a rational set of economic factors. And if you make the calculations about those factors, you have the mindset the company is going to have when you go and ask for that raise. And that can put you off, or it can tell you that it's a good time to ask. It sets your expectation as to what the answer might be, because you understand the factors that are going to go into the manager as the company's representative's judgment about whether or not you should have a pay rise.
Yeah, a good place to be.
Indeed.
Thanks, Wendy. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Well, Mark and Wendy will see you next week. I'll probably be off doing my normal thing. See you, folks. Bye.